Welcome to the home for Texas political and news analysis without an out-of-state corporate management muzzle. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without the corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day is State Rep. Elsie, freshman state rep, wins the special Texas 6 race over polling favorite Susan Wright. Don't buy the national story about how it shows that Trump is no longer important. His endorsee didn't win. There was a lot of other things going on in that race, as I've mentioned before. We'll take a look at it. Also, a Democrat hoping to recapture one of these seats they think is a swing seat down in Fort Bend County, Texas 22. He's got some problems. We'll get to that later. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995. AlliedCompliance.com. Trucking companies, get with them. They'll help you keep yourself all cleared up on the clearinghouse you've got to comply with. We've got an anti-wimp update today. Also, the feds have been releasing known COVID-positive illegal aliens into Texas cities. This story really blowing up. That and more other border news. Reaction continuing to the University of Texas and OU dump of the Big 12, and really, in the case of UT, a dump on the state of Texas, which is exactly what A&M did when they left years ago as well. And a lot of other news to get to, my friends. I truly have a lot I want to get to. You're just going to have to listen fast. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. It is, my friends, as always, a great day to be a Texan. And I'm glad to tell you that the big annual 2021 Hunter's Banquet and Auction, one of the premier of its type in the country, from Dallas Safari Club Chapter, Lubbock Sportsman's Club. The big banquet had to be moved because of all the WooFlu stuff, but it's set for August 28th. Tickets are now on sale at LubbockSportsman.com. $100 a pop, that's dinner and the whole evening, everything, and then, of course, bring you money because it's all about the auctions, the games, the silent auctions, you name it, a lot of fun. We gave over $102,000 away last year alone to youth shooting programs, wildlife conservation, hunting rights, in stuff like that. Great stuff. And, as always, I'm giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets at my table for the big event, the Hunter's Banquet and Auction. And you got a chance to do it again this year. All you got to do is go to PrattOnTexas.com. Look for it there in the post. You'll find the blank to enter. The entries are now open. You just go to PrattOnTexas.com, enter your information, and you too may have a chance at winning a pair. Well, you'll have a chance at winning a pair of tickets to sit at my table at the Big Hunter's Banquet and Auction. The LaPorte plant leak left 2 dead, 30 hospitalized. They were reporting last night, mass casualty event all across the stuff. It was the LyondellBasell plant, big chemical plant down in LaPorte. One of Texas' poorest communities, actually. About 100,000 pounds of a mixture that included acetic acid was released, and the company said the all clear was given Wednesday. The leak had been isolated and contained. Air monitoring was going on, but had shown no actionable levels, so they had no shelter in place or evacuate notices. Sadly, 2 contractors were killed and 30 workers taken to hospital for evaluation and treatment, according to the company, LyondellBasell. 24 of those were treated and released. Austin PD officer fighting for his life after a crash with an 18-wheeler in East Austin. KXAN telling us this happened early this morning in East Austin. So send your prayers for that police officer. A man points a gun at a woman before alleged sexual assault. Haltom City police say this is why you ought to be armed. Man asked a woman for change, then pointed a black semi-automatic handgun at her and forced her into a nearby field where the sexual assault happened. Wish she had been armed and been able to end that predator's career of preying on people and committing all kinds of sin and crime, my friends. And that brings us to an anti-wimp update. According to police in the Metroplex, this all happened about 2:30 in the afternoon outside of a bistro. And CBS DFW reported that police told them investigators believe the incident began when a man stole a person's vehicle earlier in the afternoon. The car's owner tracked the vehicle, and then I guess dumbly, instead of calling the cops to deal with it, anyway, found where it was and confronted the carjacking suspect outside of a restaurant. The verbal shouting turned physical as this guy that stole the car allegedly tried to ram the owner's other vehicle that he was driving. In other words, the one he came in to find his car. The owner of that car, the guy that had his other car stolen, was armed and shot the man in self-defense, according to police. Man was taken to hospital, the carjacker, where he was pronounced dead. That's the story out of CBS DFW, my friends. All the better for Dallas County and all the better for Texas. And speaking of Dallas, today in Texas history, July 28, 1973, a March for Justice, as it was called, took place in Dallas against the killing of Santos Rodriguez. While being questioned about a robbery, he was killed by Dallas policeman Daryl Kane. Kane was subsequently tried for murder and convicted. Rodriguez was exonerated. But the protest march turned into a riot in which widespread damage occurred, 38 arrests were made, and 5 policemen injured. Kane's brief sentence, only 5 years, also became an issue, though a review of the case failed. Well, he was convicted and sent to prison. That was today in Texas history. It is also the day in 1908 that Harper Lee of Isleta, right outside El Paso, one of our missions, early missions in Texas, the Spanish missions, first made his appearance in a bull ring in Guadalajara, Mexico. 2 years later, became the first American bullfighter there in Mexico. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, professional surveillance, witness interviews and witness statements, and much more. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. Switching gears to this giant topic of UT and OU destroying the Big 12, going to the Southeast Conference just for their own, you know, money benefit. Lieutenant Governor Patrick's done something that actually might be meaningful in the long term. And, of course, what happened to this years ago? Of course, he wasn't Lieutenant Governor years ago when A&M left, but this should have been looked at a long time ago. He put a select committee on the future of college sports in Texas together. Senator Perry's on it, Senator Springer, a whole bunch of folks. And Dustin Burroughs of Lubbock, he's asked some members of the House to sit in on it as well. This is important. And I'm not a big fan of the economist Ray Perryman. He's kind of a Democrat liberal out of Waco. But he's got a major piece, op-ed piece, in the Dallas Morning News today. I mean, it's very lengthy. A UT move to the SEC could cost Waco, Lubbock, and Fort Worth economies $500 million, in other words, half a billion. But he actually goes into how it costs the whole state. And there are good reasons. They explain why in multiple scenarios. This stuff does matter to more than just those individual institutions. It matters to the state, or else why do we have funds and things we use to bring in tourism and dollars? Well, we need to take a hard look at this now and should have done so years ago.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Now, a man who understands that elected officials work for us. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Loaded up, so listen fast on the Texas Hour for Pratt on Texas. U.S. releasing illegal immigrants who test positive for COVID-19, according to Texas police. A piece in the Epoch Times by Zachary Stieber. What I love best about this was down in the story, I mean, just their writing. A spokesperson for Customs and Border Protection told the Epoch Times via email that the agency in the Rio Grande Valley sector, quote, continues to encounter significant numbers of undocumented migrants crossing the border, end quote. I love that the Epoch Times put this phrase after that. Undocumented migrants is a term for illegal aliens. That's right. They wanted to say it right instead of using all this other BS politically correct language. Border Patrol officers are releasing illegal immigrants who test positive for Wu flu to a charity. And by the way, that's that left-wing sister, Norma Pimentel or whatever down there. I mean, she is a far radical leftist in the Catholic Church. She's extremely political. But here's the deal. Immigrants were handed over to Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley, which put them up in a hotel they had rented out entirely, according to the La Jolla police. We did not know this. No one told the city of La Jolla. No one told the police department that these people were here. Let me tell you, that Sister Pimentel, she doesn't care. I mean, nothing matters to her. There should be no borders, no nothing. She is just such a radical leftist. Doesn't surprise me. For all the praise she gets is being so loving and concerned and charitable. She's not. She's a political leftist. You know, concern would be letting local officials know what's going on. So the cops said we didn't know they were there, and no one told us they were possibly ill, according to La Jolla Sergeant Manuel Casas at a press conference they called yesterday. Now listen to this. This came to light because a concerned citizen who, you know, who knows whether they're one of these, I don't know. Now let's read it as they report it in the Epoch Times. On Monday, reported to a police officer that she saw a family who was coughing and sneezing without covering their mouths and were not wearing masks. So I'm extremely skeptical of this citizen anyway, but here we go. Management at the Whataburger, where the family was, said they wanted them to leave because they were disregarding other people's health. It must have been over the top. In other words, it sounds like they were symptomatic. The police officer went to the family who told them, the family told him they had been apprehended by Border Patrol just days before, but were released because they had COVID-19. Family was being housed at the Texas Inn Hotel, which authorities later learned had been booked entirely to house such immigrants by that Pimentel woman that runs the nun that runs this Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley. And so there you go. I mean, and of course, you've got other stories coming out of this. Judge Cortez, a liberal Democrat down there in Hidalgo County, Richard Cortez calling on the administration, Biden administration, to stop releasing COVID-19 positive. I'm getting so angry at myself. To stop releasing COVID-19 positive illegal immigrants into Texas. We've been doing well as a community in slowing the spread of this virus, he said, but ill-conceived policies. And of course, he has to blame the state too, even though we have nothing to do with it. But both the federal and state governments are having serious consequences. He actually tweeted out, I call on federal immigration officials to stop releasing infected migrants into our community, and I'm further calling on Governor Abbott to return to Hidalgo County the safety tools he took away that would help us slow the spread of this disease. So the judge admits Biden's spreading it, but then he wants to have his authority and all his orders and lock everybody down, which is silly. Governor Abbott on the staying in the border stuff, Abbott ordered the National Guard yesterday to assist DPS in making arrests. It's because he's coming under increased pressure from people noticing his plan's not doing much. They're already there. What were they doing? The key part was they're going to assist DPS in arresting individuals for state charges. Border Patrol sector apprehended the largest migrant group in 2021. That's right. Chief Border Patrol Agent Brian Hastings said that the Rio Grande Valley smuggling organizations continue to profit off innocent lives today. I guess this was yesterday. 336 individuals crossed the border in one group, which is the largest group in the RGV sector has seen. Many of these individuals are suffering from dehydration and exhaustion. Thankfully, EMTs were quick to respond and provided medical assistance to those in need. Some were sent to local hospitals for additional treatment. By the way, you will all pay for this. These people aren't coming with health insurance. The journey's dangerous and smugglers have no regard for human life, said the Chief Border Patrol Agent Hastings. Migrant girls saved from registered sex offender sponsor, according to the Border Patrol. Guatemalan migrant teen She came here. She came over into Texas. She's one of a group of 85 they caught, and she had rehearsed the stuff about who her sponsor was, family, you know, because we're just finding out where they go and then giving them a free trip there, releasing them into the country. Fortunately, the Border Protection officer who was in Canada up on the Canadian border doing the interviews to help out via remote teleconference noticed that the demographics and information of her sponsor that she had from memory was so clear that it raised their concerns. They did more looking and found out this guy lives in Oroville, California, that this so-called family friend, and is a registered sex offender. So they probably rescued a girl from life and sex trafficking. So, you know, this thing is just awful. Now we know for a fact that they've just been releasing into the communities WFLU positive families in South Texas, not even telling the locals what they were doing with it. And it continues. And of course, the Democrats down there can't just say Biden's doing it. They've got to, oh, the state and all this and all bull. We know what's going on. It's awful. Speaking of the COVID part of it, Huffines has called for Abbott to kick the CDC out of Texas and reject their mandates. Said Texas suffered catastrophic harm after Greg Abbott decided to follow Fauci's orders and shut our state down for 9 months. Abbott must make it clear that CDC guidelines will not be allowed in Texas. We must ban all mask mandates and vaccine passports in Texas, including private vaccine passports that Abbott has protected at Texans' expense. We must go further than simply kicking the CDC out of Texas. We must also direct our state health department to create our own safety standard based on scientific data and respect for the rights and liberties of Texans. That from gubernatorial candidate, former state senator Don Huffines of Dallas. Matt Rinaldi, now our state Republican chairman, said you absolutely should not follow the new CDC recommendations. They're not based in science or good policy. Live your lives. Oh, you should have seen the Twitter people. You're wanting people to die. These people are crazy. They have no concept of which they talk. And then I got from our researcher, medical writer, registered nurse friend, pointing out a story that appeared in the Lubbock media here a while back, a doctor warning unvaccinated people about his bout with the Delta or the India variant of COVID. And this one makes the comment in there that it's more transmissible than others. I've only found one other guy, former FDA commissioner Scott Gottlieb, actually making that statement that it's more transmissible than the original strain. I keep looking at these stories talking about highly transmissible, and yet they never quote any science. And I look at tons of these a day. Anyway, back to this Lubbock story. I think she was right. It's fear-mongering from the Covenant Hospital group. And he said in the story, it's a distinct possibility the hospital system in Lubbock could be tested the way it was back in the fall of 2020. She said they're fear-mongering. Department of Health has a spreadsheet. Every COVID-related death, which means not even by COVID, and the entire Lubbock County, all hospitals right now, one death between 10 June and 8 July, and then one death between 8 July and 27 July. Going back the past 2 months, there's been a total of 6 COVID-related deaths between all the way from May 27th to 7/27. That's right, they're panicking. And that Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA commissioner who, you know, he's no dismisser of anything, but he said, we'll be past the Delta wave in another 2 or 3 weeks, and there's not enough bang for our buck in telling vaccinated people they need to wear masks and stuff like that. They won't make much difference. So there you go. But the people that want to be afraid are going to be afraid. The rest of us are going to go out and live. Back in a moment.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
Announcing the Hunter's Banquet and Auction from the Lubbock Sportsman's Club, Saturday, August 28th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center. Do you enjoy shooting, hunting, fishing, or travel in the good life? You don't want to miss the 2021 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 28th, featuring good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Presented by People's Bank, this event is among the premier of its type in the country, with the highest quality, most valuable hunts from around the world available, including premium hunts right here at home. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction is huge fun and sells out each year, and tickets are only sold in advance. Get yours now at LubbockSportsman.com. Tickets are limited, so get yours now at LubbockSportsman.com. LubbockSportsman.com. True Texans will have a blast on August 28th in Lubbock for the Hunters Banquet and Auction.
Welcome, Texans, and those who wish you were. It's time for more Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your king of the Texas commentariat, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend Congressman Ronnie Jackson of Amarillo, Texas 13, said earlier this week that there's been a big win for Texas agriculture. He introduced H.R. 1619, Restore Act, in March with Henry Cuellar and some other folks, and it was leadership picked it up, I think, during the committee markup and moved on, so they're thinking they'll be able to get a lot of that passed. Jackson putting out the word there, a little self-congratulations, but it's important for Texas agriculture. Let's move to the Lone Star story of the day, the big special election, which is getting a lot of national coverage in the political news and other news today, out of Texas 6, Fort Worth area. And that the reason that it's getting so much news is Trump had endorsed Susan Wright, the widow of the late Congressman Ron Wright, and it's all, even the crazy, it's Charles C.W. Cook, I don't know, he's a great writer, he's smart in so many things, but he's totally, you know, flipped his lid when it comes to Trump, and they're all out there talking about, see, Trump's not important. Well, Trump's had endorsees lose even while he was president. This is not the center of this race, and don't believe it. This includes the southeastern portion of Tarrant County, Ellis County, and Navarro County. Elsie is already known by voters. He ran for the district in 2018 when the seat was last open, but lost to Ron Wright. Then he just got elected to the state legislature in a district covering Ellis County. So he's got a strong, strong base in there, and he's known by the voters. Wright got the support, Susan Wright, from Trump. She's the conservative grassroots person. There's some headlines out there claiming that the conservative beat Trump's person. Elsie's all right, but he's not a conservative compared to Susan Wright. Let's just put it that way. He's an establishment type. Trump, he met a teletown hall in support for the day before the runoff election. Elsie pulled ahead in the polls. Now, Elsie outraised Wright by a substantial margin in this. He had a better machine put together this time around and got the support of Rick Perry and eyepatch Dan Crenshaw. And he also got a lot of votes by Democrat voters. Stephen Daniel, Democratic nominee for the district in 2020, said he would be voting for Elsie, made that very public, and urged Democrats to do the same because it was a Republican-on-Republican runoff. And he said to make sure Trump endorsed Susan Wright loses. That's what he had told people. The text messages reportedly went out to Democrats in the district urging them to vote against Wright. And folks, it was a small margin in this race. I mean, I think it was a little less than 2,000 votes, and turnout was very, very low. So just don't buy this that Trump fell apart. There was a lot more going on here. So Elsie's been in the Texas House about 6 months. Now we'll have another special election for his House seat whenever the governor sets that. Elsie, before running for the legislature, he finished again, as I said, second to Ron Wright in the GOP primary for that Texas 6. He drew support from fellow Republican state lawmakers, U.S. Rep. Dan Crenshaw, and former Governor Rick Perry, as well as Democrats casting anti-Trump votes. Look, in this case, the vote numbers were so small, that alone could have been the difference. Could have been the difference. Susan Wright said last night, special elections are special. This one was no exception. I wish to congratulate Congressman-elect Jake Elsie on his victory. I'm praying for his success and wish him well. I'll never forget the kindness the people of Texas 6 have shown Ron and I for so many years. Thank you. Of course, Ron was her husband who died of cancer, serving in that seat. Now, one of the big national political groups out of D.C. that sends out insight and commentary on this stuff gives you the picture of the establishment crowd on this race, and again makes it clear that Susan Wright was the conservative grassroots person. They say some really good stuff. While polling and endorsement suggested a Wright victory, the most recent public poll from American Viewpoint released last week projected Wright holding a 10-point advantage. The Elsie win should be viewed not as a big upset, but they say only a mild upset. It's the third election in the four in which Elzey was a candidate where he considerably exceeded expectations. He's an airline pilot, rancher, Iraq and Afghan war veteran. And so, you know, he's outperformed all other polling and projections in other races. They pointed out that turnout was very low. 38,994, that compares to 78,374 in a special, in the big open primary, what they call a jungle primary, where everybody's running. So you got 50% of the turnout in the runoff that actually decided it than you had early on in the big open race. Also, the vote proportion for both of them for early voting and election day were virtually identical. Nothing really moved. Wright carried Tarrant County in the original, but last night Elzey reversed the trend and won the big part of Tarrant County. And then they go into how it was a big loss for Trump and blind the Club for Growth. And then you get to this paragraph that really tells you what you need to know. By the way, our Lone Star Story of the Day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, drug and alcohol testing. You truckers, they'll help you with the clearinghouse you've got to keep up with. They're experts. Find out more at alliedcompliance.com. Call and talk to them. They're great people. So here's the paragraph from this big DC analysis group. Ms. Wright was viewed as a relatively poor candidate, both from a fundraising and campaign stunt perspective. In this regard, reconfiguring the seat around a new Congressman Elzey will likely be an easier task for the Republican redistricting team as well as the National Republican Congressional Committee, since he likely has wider appeal and is a stronger proven vote-getter. That's okay, but you take this with everything they write about, and it just tells you that the establishment group was in it for Elzey, period. And we knew this going in. I don't think he'll be a terrible congressman. But what the real story in that race is not Trump. It's the Democrats easily being able, with half the turnout from the big open primary, the big open special election, you had half the turnout. It didn't take but just a few of the most diehard activist Democrats to turn out and vote against Trump's endorsee to make the difference in that race. And then I'm not arguing that was all 2,000 or so votes. The bigger issue was that Joe Barton, slimy Joe Barton, that held that seat forever and ever. And I mean, he was known as a slime ball in Washington, but they loved him. And here's why. Okay. He was one of those golden Midas touch fundraisers. All the money. I mean, one of the tops. And you remember he ended up not running for re-election. He had those nude photos he had having an affair sending around. He's a slime ball. He's your old insider political guy they like because he raises money, but he's a slime ball. Barton wasn't going to get in the race. Remember, he didn't run for re-election. Ron Wright ran it, won it. Susan's husband, late husband. But he got involved, and all these other guys got involved, and for some reason, they got madder than hell about Club for Growth, which wasn't Wright's campaign. That's independent money. When asked about it, she said, well, I can't infringe on their First Amendment right, and she's correct. They came in and spent a ton of money in this race, and I'll just tell you, the voters kind of saw, a lot of voters saw both of these people as very good people, and this is one of those few times where the super hard-hitting go-for-the-throat stuff that was done by Club for Growth hurt. Usually people say, I don't want to go negative. Hey, you got to do that stuff. You got to define your opponent. And Rick Perry and everybody claim what they said about Elzey wasn't true. Club for Growth still stands by it. I looked into it. I think they were right. The establishment never likes when their votes are mentioned, you know, on issues in the legislature and stuff, and show them to have voted for tax increases or something when they claim they didn't really do it. It was nasty. And I think a combination of Barton and the whole establishment crowd moving into this race in the last two or three weeks to counter, for some reason, it just extremely fired up over the Club for Growth stuff for Susan Wright, that made the difference, along with the Democrats voting anti-Trump. That's it. That's the real story. Now you've heard it. Back in a moment.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com.
And now, a man who finds skulking youth in pullover hoodies far more menacing than citizens with pistols properly holstered in the open. It's firearm-friendly Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back. Another big, interesting campaign issue out of Texas 22. That's the big seat held by U.S. Rep. Troy Nehls, who just won it recently. Remember, former Fort Bend County Sheriff, the Dems put all a lot of national money in it, thinking they were going to flip that seat down Houston way. Well, the big Democrat campaigning on his military experience was kicked out of the Air Force over a drunken fight with fellow service member Patrick Svitek at the Texas Tribune, reporting that Matt Berg, this Democrat, separated from the Air Force in 2009, 3 years after he faced court-martial. Berg's running for Texas 22. Seat was National Democrat target in the last cycle, as I told you about. Graduate of the Air Force Academy, Berg served for 12 years in the service, including as a captain in West Texas, Louisiana, Arizona, Tennessee, and Guam. Fight happened in 06, and he was in Guam at Anderson Air Force Base. He was charged with assault and conduct unbecoming of an officer. 7 months later, he faced court-martial at Barksdale in Louisiana. He was convicted. And then after lengthy automatic appeals, he lost and was dismissed from the military in 2009. And, of course, he's got the typical leftist stuff going for him. He sought professional help for anger management and his drinking. And now he's running on his military record. They're not going to pick that seat up. Now, I want to get to something. Yesterday, I said some things that probably make people mad. I said all this Simone Biles stuff and all I was reading in the press was nothing but what is rotting our society, and it was the celebration of a quitter. Well, it's interesting that I've said before that Amber Athey, I have no idea who she is, but she's become one of my favorite writers at The Spectator, which is now going by SpectatorWorld.com in the U.S., had a column today that just follows it up. Simone Biles is a quitter. Now, before I read that, Dan McLaughlin at National Review writes, defend Simone Biles, but don't glorify quitting. And he says defend her because she had a phenomenon called the twisties, where you lose your sense of space in the air. But he points out there's a growing cacophony of commentators and everywhere trying to celebrate Biles for showing the importance of mental health and prioritizing taking care of yourself. And, you know, some of the people that built her up as unstoppable now giving her the Yaz Queen treatment in order to normalize dropping out of things over mental blocks. It's appalling, and it's affirmatively harmful. First, mental health covers a vast variety of things, and stressed out after a week of overwork to full-blown psychosis. And, you know, he goes into the stuff that the little stuff sure doesn't compare to the big stuff. And he said it's a good thing to destigmatize discussing and seeking treatment for mental health, but the purpose of it so that people can go on with their lives. We shouldn't glorify using mental health issues as an excuse to quit, even when, as in the case of Biles, quitting was, he thinks, her only sensible option. Amber Athey's piece is fabulous. Just a few days before the Tokyo Olympics, or as I'm calling them, the Wokio Olympics opening ceremony, my mom and I watched gymnastics comedy Stick It, movies about a star gymnast fighting for redemption after dropping out of World Cup or World Championship right before the floor event. Reality seemed to mirror fiction on Tuesday when Biles, the star of the U.S. team, who's widely considered the greatest gymnast of all time, withdrew from competition. Biles botched her vault attempt, not performing the full trick she planned to do and taking a huge step upon landing before being led away from the floor by a team trainer. The U.S. gymnastics team said she would not finish the final, leaving the rest of her team in dire straits as they needed her monstrous scores to help secure America's third gold medal in a row. The team would ultimately finish with a silver medal behind the Russians. The media initially suspected Biles had suffered an injury, but she later confirmed she withdrew from the team final due to, quote, mental health issues. Biles explained she was struggling with the immense pressure to win the competition and expectations that come with being a GOAT, you know, the GOAT, greatest of all time. She said she feared she could injure herself physically attempting to perform difficult gymnastic skills while in a fragile mental state. Whenever you get in a high-stress situation, you kind of freak out, Biles told reporters. I have to focus on my mental health and not jeopardize my health and well-being. Amber writes, her argument that she could have been injured if she continued to compete makes sense. It could be quite dangerous for her to throw one of her eponymous tricks if she got lost in the air, which is how one of the announcers described her vault attempt. However, the fact that she was able to become so mentally unfocused in the first place is quite stunning for an Olympic-caliber athlete, let alone the best gymnast ever. The timing of Biles' decision suggests it had something to do with the mistake she made during the team qualifying round. And it goes on and on here, talking the details. She also told reporters she thought she would cost the team too many points if she stayed in the final. It's hard to buy that excuse. Even with her many mistakes during the qualifying round, she still posted the highest score in the competition. The starting difficulty level for her tricks is so much higher than the other competitors that she can outscore them by a full point margin, even when incurring major deductions for stepping out of bounds or falling. With a substandard Biles in the qualifying round, the U.S. finished second to Russia by about 1 point. Without Biles in the final on Tuesday, they finished second by nearly 3.5 points. Biles was much more accurate when she gave this more selfish explanation for a decision, quote, "I have to do what's right for me," end quote. "It's okay sometimes to sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself," she said. That's it. Maybe. But Biles' decision also affected her teammates and her country. She chose not to leave until the middle of the competition when it would have the biggest impact on the other U.S. gymnasts. Several of them had to compete last minute in events for which they had not prepared. And in taking the pressure off herself, Biles unloaded even more onto her three much younger teammates. Will the media and U.S. gymnast team consider the effect that Biles' withdrawal may have had on their mental health? Biles has been lauded on social media for her decision to drop out. You wonder whether she would have garnered more praise from Instagram activists for bragging and bagging another team gold or practicing self-care. I guess we'll never know. In other words, which would this modern bunch of people celebrate more? And Amber finishes her column up by saying, "Biles may be the most skilled gymnast ever, but a true champion is someone who perseveres even when the competition gets tough. Biles' teammates, who took home a silver medal despite unthinkable circumstances, should be remembered as the genuine heroines of the 2020 U.S. Olympic gymnastics team." And she calls her a quitter. I said this yesterday. She's talking about, well, pushing through it could be a problem. No, that's the point. Some about, well, people shouldn't have to. No, that's what we have to do all of our lives. And as I said yesterday, when a spouse dies, a child dies, we go bankrupt. We have our business stolen from us. All kinds of things happen to people. Car wreck, injured, in a wheelchair the rest of our lives, or seriously hurt, can't do the things we love, or life-changing circumstances. That's what we all have to do. We have to push through. And yet she was talking about how, and being celebrated for talking about how you shouldn't always have to push through and stuff. You got to, you know, take me time and your mental health. No. You made a commitment to your team and your country to represent them. And this is where I got mad at this U.S. gymnast, Sunisa Lee. She's stepped forward to tell Americans that what they don't want to hear, that they don't owe anyone a gold medal. Well, that's right, Sunisa. You don't owe anyone a gold medal. But you do owe us the absolute best performance, each member of the team, possible at that moment. That's what you owe your teammates. That's a moral commitment you've made. It's what you owe your country for being able to wear the stars and stripes, the donors and all the companies and people that fund all of this year-round constant practice to perfection that's so incredibly expensive. You do owe people something. You owe your best. And you owe, when times get tough, to do what we've always, well, what we used to celebrate when we were a winning, growing culture. And that is standing up to adversity and pushing through. What we got in the media yesterday was a bunch of stuff about how, well, we shouldn't have to push through. It's the same old, I want to sit at home, live with my parents forever. I don't want to have to go back to work. I don't want to have to do anything. It is this absolute horrific, wimpish culture we have created in this country. I like Amber Athey's headline best. Simone Biles is a quitter. I think it's better than defend Simone Biles, but don't glorify quitting, but they both make good points. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos. I would love to have you join me at the 2021 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 28th in Lubbock. The event's among the premier of its type in the country and put on by the Lubbock Sportsman's Club, the inaugural Dallas Safari Club chapter. Last year, the club awarded well over $100,000 to support hunting and wildlife conservation, all from funds generated at the annual event. To have a chance to win tickets at my table, enter at prideontexas.com. I'll award 2 pair to listeners, each ticket's worth $100. Enter to win at prideontexas.com.